He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation of beer drinkers. Some think that he's a lush. Some believe he is a problem drinker who needs therapy to bring balance to their emotions. And some will stop at nothing to buy his next round. From the mind of M. Schlitz Warsteiner, Ham Studio presents Blatz, the Last Beer Bender.
My hops!
This place is worse than Rollerball.
Hops and box office flops. A place where we can celebrate the underdog films, the bombs, the disasters, the much maligned movies that have drowned in their infamy. So please sit back, grab a beer, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the 231st episode, wow, of Hops and Box Office Flops. We are the interwebs' number one bad movie and good beer podcast, as rated by Cabbage Vendors and the Fire Nation. I, Chumpzilla, will be hosting tonight for the first installment in our Hops and Live Action Flop series, where we'll be reviewing bad movies that are live action adaptations of an existing non-live action IP. And we're kicking things off with one of the most notoriously bad movies of all time, 2010's The Last Airbender. I am so sorry. Joining me on this episode tonight is our favorite bald-headed shitbender, the Thunderous Wizard.
Wait, there's something I haven't told you. I never learned to bend the other elements yet. Is there a way for me to learn? Why, yes, we can go to the North Water territory. There are many great waterbenders there. Should we go? Yes, I think so. Let's go. That's what you can expect from this movie.
Lots of just generic exposition. It's plot must move forward.
So much exposition. In fact, the poor actress who plays Roka Chokomoka, whatever character's name is, frequently narrates the shit mm-hmm. you're seeing before you.
Yep.
For reasons.
It's, folks, I mean, this movie is notoriously bad, and it definitely, definitely deserves that reputation. It is awful. And as always, you can find the pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Hops and BO Flops. And you can download us wherever you find the finest podcasts. And T-dubs, that does in fact bring us to beer. And for the last airbender, I've selected grain alcohol because this movie absolutely requires you to consume moonshine immediately after viewing to remove and or wipe any memory of it from your mind.
And, you know, the chance of going blind could save you a lot of awful green screen.
Mm-hmm. So that would definitely be a plus as well. But I've also got some Voodoo Ranger Tropic Force here as a chaser. And this Tropic Force is an Imperial IPA with a very much Captain Cash approved ABV of 9.5%. It is a very fruit forward beer. It pours like a cloudy golden yellow with a good solid finger ahead and light lacing. But let me tell you, it punches you in the mouth with a strong lead of tropical fruit notes. Think pineapple, mango, guava kind of deal. It's pretty fruity, but it does finish with a little bit of that, IPA bitterness. So, it's not terrible, but the fruity flavors do just a minimal job of hiding the booze. It definitely feels warm on my tongue. So I hate to say it, this is not my favorite Imperial IPA. It's a little too sweet, not enough citrus, a little warm. I'm just going to give this one bad movie. If you see it in stores, folks, it's like in the lime green can. Give it a shot. Not my cup of tea, but you might like it. And T-dubs, cheers.
Cheers, yeah. You're going to need every bit of that 9.5%.
It's not hurting.
If you decide to watch
The Last Airbender.
Yeah. So The Last Airbender, and we'll get this out of the way now because it's not my notes, but you know, obviously the cartoon was titled Avatar, The Last Airbender. But for the film, they dropped the Avatar name because they didn't want any confusion with James Cameron's Avatar movies. Which is funny because that's the entire reason they added The Last Airbender colon bit to the TV show. So they made like opposite decisions. The TV show was originally Avatar, and they added The Last Airbender to differentiate from the movie. But then the movie just dropped the Avatar altogether. I mean,
I think
I'm not sure that matters at all, but just a fun quirk to
counterpoint.
Out.
Instead of changing the title, why don't you save the $170 million you used to make this movie and donate it to people who need food?
Yeah, no. So this movie cost like $130 million to make or something like that. And then they spent another $150 million on the marketing. It's insane.
I've never seen the show to this day. I have not seen the show in 2010. And I remember the commercial spots for this, thinking like, oh, that actually looks pretty cool. But since I'm not a fan of the show, I'll kind of wait to see how people feel about it. And then I read it was horrific. And I was like, yep, not going to watch that. And then you son of a bitch, chose it for this series. And here we are.
I'm sorry. Again, just listeners, T-dubs, I apologize. But the movie was directed and written. I mean, obviously it's based on the show, but the script was written by M. Night Shyamalan. And this was his follow-up to the pod favorite, The Happening. And how those two back-to-back flops didn't end his directing career should be studied by scientists.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Listen, I know he had trouble securing funding after this, and you know, his movies had been on the decline, and obviously I saw The Visit. I liked it. I like Split. You know, he's kind of redeemed himself, but this is just a trifecta of how do you light your career on fire? You write, produce, and direct something so heinous that it will live in the annals of history.
Yes, definitely in the annals of history. That's correct. This is right in the butt of history.
What I mean. I can't give it the annals of history. This is the annals of history.
Yeah, yeah.
Right up there.
Wanton destruction.
Exactly.
Fun fact, the only reason he was interested in this IP is because his daughter asked him to help with a Halloween costume to play one of the characters in the show. He's like, oh, what's that? She said, oh, it's this great cartoon on Nickelodeon. He's like, So he watches. He's like, holy shit, I want to make a movie. Which honestly is like the most wholesome part of this whole story. I'm like, that's actually a really great reason for a director to get interested in a project. But somehow his passion didn't translate into quality in the final product. But
I don't get it, man.
Anyway.
If you watch this, it seems like Uwe Boll directed it.
Yeah, he seems not to care about the source material at least enough to make the movie even enjoyable to fans, but yeah, we'll come back to that. So the film was based on that beloved Nickelodeon cartoon, which aired for three seasons from 2005 through 2008. And the original plan was to actually film a trilogy with one movie based on each season and or book. This first season, I believe, was titled The Book of Water. And but due to the poor performance of this movie, those sequels obviously never happened. The cast for this movie is basically Dev Patel, a bunch of white guys, and people that have been exclusively cast as terrorists since the early 2000s.
That's not true. Peter's mean pizza manager from Spider-Man 2 has a very prominent role as a mean firebender.
That is true. That is true. But yeah, and then one of the big knocks on this movie is that it's based on like Asian and some like Arctic, you know, native Inuit Eskimo mythology. And so effectively the entire cast should be not white, but the cast is very, very Caucasian in some of the wrong places. And one of the big arguments online when this movie came out was that they whitewashed a lot of the characters. People complained, fans complained. And, you know, race can be tricky with fictional characters, but I do think there's probably multiple instances of this movie being a little questionable in its casting choices.
Quite a few.
Based on the source material.
The entire water tribe is just generic white people.
Yeah, it's
including the most generic white actor that I think we've ever had on the pod, Jackson Rathbone, who waffles.
Kai Jordan's not in this movie. Confused, Sam Worthington's not in this movie.
Confused and did I shit myself throughout the entire movie?
I mean, it's not good, folks. I'm not gonna lie. It's not good. It's a lot of that criticism well placed. Anyway, so as I alluded to earlier, this movie was filmed on a staggering all-in budget of $280 million, including the marketing. And it managed to pull in just under $320 million at the box office. It's widely considered one of the worst movies of all time, and certainly, again, lives up to that reputation. The original creators of this IP distanced themselves from the film. They were initially on board and they said, oh, nope, not touching it. The actors themselves have distanced themselves from the film, saying like, it's not that good. And the fans of the cartoon also think it sucks. They hated it. This movie has like no fans. Zero. Zip. None. Even the ironic, it was actually not that bad guys on Twitter, don't even exist to defend this film. It is just a total turd. It currently has an extremely generous 5% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it runs a dreadful 103 minutes with a PG rating, and you can stream it for free on Paramount Plus or rent it for $4 American on other platforms, but I would not suggest you do so.
Don't give this movie any money. Also,
not even once.
This should be NC-17 because no kid should be allowed to see this.
Holy shit. Yeah,
how something offensive this movie is.
Oh my gosh. So since it's just the duo of us tonight, T-Dubs, I'll start with the IMDb and then we can give our one-liners. IMDb says, follows the adventure of Aang, a young successor to a long line of avatars who must master all four elements to stop the Fire Nation from enslaving the water tribes and the Earth Kingdom. No, that's legit.
Yeah.
That's the show. That's the plot. Yeah. But here, as always, being selfish, here's my one-liner. A bald kid with a flying bison blows a bunch of guys to save the world.
I mean, that's one way to put it. I would just say, Captain Elements, he's our hero, gonna take the Fire Nation down to zero.
I mean, even Aquaman could be a Captain Planet spinoff.
True, yeah.
They had the color stuff and greenhouse gases. Yeah, I don't know. So here, folks, this is my least favorite plot summary of all time. It is very brief. The world is in peril. The Fire Nation has eliminated the Air Nomads and is waging war against the remaining two tribes. The Water Tribe discovers...
Stop right there.
Oh, no.
There's four nations because this is a kid's show after all, so it's distilling very complicated geopolitical jockeying into terms or ways that a child could digest, right? So there's just these four kingdoms. So you lose one.
Yeah.
What the fuck were the Water Kingdom and the Earth Kingdom doing that they just let the fire dudes run amok? Because, by the way, fire guys pretty useless against water.
They seem pretty tough, though. The fire guys seem mean.
I mean, they're mean for sure. But honestly, they have the worst power of all four nations. It can easily be quelled by wind. It can be absolutely destroyed by water.
So here's the thing, though. Under the right circumstances, wind would fuel fire.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah, you don't want to give oxygen to a fire.
Yeah, well, and just to get like a little scientific nerdier for a second, fire is one of the unique things to our planet that we have the ability to apply oxygen to organic material.
I'm just saying
that doesn't, right? that doesn't necessarily happen on
these
other planets.
Assholes storm around in warships.
Yeah.
That are totally susceptible to tidal waves or rock slides or.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're really getting at here is that, like, effectively you got folks that have storm level powers and she's an omega level mutant. Like, yeah, like the water guys should be able to wreck shit.
No shit, dude. They should be invisible. Yeah. The Earth, this is a different Earth, technically, but it's 70% water. They could be surfing around on fucking cool surfboards, just working people, flooding villages, having Mai Tais. You kidding me?
To your point, I don't think you're wrong, but I can't blame the movie for that because the source material, I don't think, does anything different. So fucking settle down.
It was made by Nickelodeon. We know not to trust them anymore.
Yeah,
okay?
It was made by a couple of white dudes. So whatever. What are you gonna do? So this water tribe, one of the remaining two tribes that's not the fire tribe or the now extinct water or air people, whatever. So the water tribe discovers Aang and his flying cow dog frozen in an iceberg.
All right,
he is the last of the air nomads.
I like the flying cow dog. Probably the only thing I like.
You know what? I wish Captain Cash is here because I wanted to make the joke. Like, dude, I know you love that thing because you love Woola. Like, John Carter from Mars has a cow dog.
All right, so here's the thing I can personally guarantee you, listener. At one point in time, Captain Cash had a dummy Reddit account defending this movie.
Probably.
I can't prove that. I just know it's true.
Highly likely. Yeah. So anyway, they find him and his cow dog, and he is the last of the air nomads. And not only is he the last of the air nomads, but he is the Avatar, a being capable of mastering the bending of all four of the natural elements, air, water, fire, and earth. The Fire Nation sees him as a threat and they sense him, so they know he's around. And then stuff happens, and Aang learns to bend water. And then he holds counsel with the Luck Dragon from Dragon Ball Z or something. And then some more shit happens in a cave. I don't care, and neither do you. The movie ends with the Fire Nation guy telling his daughter to prevent Aang from learning earth and fire bending in sequels that will never be made. That's
the
movie.
And that follows. So obviously if you've watched the show, that is where the show heads. And I had to like go check in for, cause I thought originally when I had read about this movie, they're like, oh, I can't believe they did all that in one movie, thinking it would be like the entire show, but it's just the one season,
which is still 20 episodes.
Yeah. And this movie certainly needs a lot more time to breathe. But you're not going to get six movies out of this property. Netflix is probably doing it the right way, even if that show is also divisive. I just hope the cartoon is better, at least. It's better written, because this movie is maybe one of the worst written movies to ever get a budget of this size. But everything is so obvious. There's nothing surprising about this story at all. It's very clear he's not going to know the other elements. It's very clear that's where the adventure is going to take him. It's also super clear that Monkey Man, Slumdog Millionaire, is eventually going to become a good guy.
Yeah,
which I had to discover on the fan wiki about this series that he does in fact become a good guy. But it's so obvious that that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think so. There's a lot of complaints from the fan community about this movie. And like, I think one that sticks out to me is that they show the face of the leader of the Fire Nation, like right off the bat, like 30 minutes into the movie. That character's face, which I guess that was, is that Dave Patel's dad?
Dave Patel's dad, Cliff Curtis, yeah. Who's yeah. actually from New Zealand.
Yeah, his face, that character's face and identity is not revealed until the third season, but this movie shows it like 30 minutes in. And so like people just feel like, hey, you're kind of fucking up the narrative here. That was supposed to be a big deal. Also, in the cartoon, voiced by Mark Hamill.
I think their biggest mistake is casting the dude from The Daily Show as a genocidal, like, underling of the Fire King.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Because all I could think about was him slapping or ripping the sticker off Peter Parker's helmet and saying that the 30 minutes is a guarantee.
Yeah, it's... The movie is definitely woefully miscast. It really is. And it's, and like, just to be honest, it's not even the race thing. It's
some so of the goofy looking, like,
yeah,
there is people, Civil the tone War is off the reenactments people, with better costumes than yeah, this.
It's we'll get into it. So quickly here, let's give this our beer ratings. T-Dubs, what are you giving?
Like Billy Bob flashing 10 in the strip club in Varsity Blues. This is six. It's so bad. I was texting you guys as I was watching it. Like, I was like angry. I was angry how stupid this movie was. And it's an hour and 43 minutes. It really ends at about 1:33, right? Because the credits.
Credits, yeah.
It feels like fucking eternity.
It's painful.
It is painful.
The fights aren't good.
The voiceovers, the fights, the awful dialogue, like the shitty green screen. It was mind numbing.
Yeah, it's terrible. So here, I'll just to answer this question myself, I'll crack a beer, maybe, and there we go. Drink till you puke. This movie sucks. Six pain beers. It's awful. I have to say this with 100% earnesty. This is one of the worst, if not the worst, big budget film I've ever seen. It's worse than Madam Web.
It's 100% worse than Madam Web.
There's no part of this I enjoyed. It is an endurance challenge.
I mean, for fear of spoiling our second segment, like, I think this is the worst movie we've done on the pod. I don't think it's close.
I think you might have a solid argument here. I mean, I knew this was bad. I wasn't prepared for how bad it actually is. But okay, we've covered the plot, if there was one, and our beer rating. So let's take a break here. Welcome back to Hops and Box Office Flops. We're still talking about The Last Airbender, and I wish we weren't. Gentlemen, I do have some questions for the panel, because newsflash, Bling Blake has joined us, and I'll start off with my first general question here. Did either of you gentlemen watch the cartoon?
As I've stated, no.
No, I'm not a nerd.
Yep, I think I was a bit old for this one. I was aware of this being a thing. I knew it was popular, but much like Pokemon, I was too old and too cool to get involved. Honestly, I didn't have any strong relationships with this IP, but I don't think that mattered because the movie was so bad. It was just bad. It wasn't just a bad adaptation.
Now,
it was just a terrible film.
I think my kids would like the cartoon, so maybe I'll introduce them to it, and then maybe I'll introduce them to the Netflix show. I would never let them watch this, because if they wound up liking it, it would play on loop.
On repeat.
And then the next thing you know, I'm digging my own grave.
Yeah, the cool thing about this movie is there's nothing cool enough in, I think, to capture a child's imagination. It's devoid of exciting visuals or action.
It's super boring.
There's no charm.
It's nonsensical. It's bad.
It's bad. Like again, the source material, a little generic. It's been done before. It's not super unique. But obviously the cartoon is very popular and this is not. All right. So with that being settled, what was the worst part of this movie in your opinions, gentlemen? And I ask that in the sense that, like, is it the quality of the film? Is it the whitewashing of the cast? Is it the lack of creative visuals with the bending? Like, Let's just try to get granular here, even though we all agree it sucks in general, but is there something specifically that stands out?
Okay, so a movie can overcome a lot of things. Sure. It can overcome looking cheap. It can overcome subpar fight choreography.
Now, when you say movie, you mean story.
Yeah.
Or like a movie, not this movie.
The acting and the script, which pretty much work in tandem. There is not an actor on earth who could make the writing of this movie compelling. It is so poorly written. It feels like it's written at a third or fourth grade level.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks all sorts of movie rules in terms of how you tell a story. The voiceover is just atrocious. It serves no purpose. It's telling you things you're seeing. So it, like, show me, don't tell me. It's showing you, but then it insists on telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell happened here, because obviously he's a talented writer. I mean, he's nominated for an Oscar. He's made a talented writer. Yeah, we have made good movies.
We have an amazing director, obviously. Like, you guys don't like The Happening. I get it, but.
No, he's made good movies. That's indisputable.
He has made good movies. That is indisputable. And this source material is objectively good. And there are objectively good actors in this film. You know, besides Dev Patel alone is fantastic. But, like,
sure,
most of your bad guy actors in this film are really, really talented actors that we've seen, despite Die Hard 4. We've seen some really good stuff from some of these actors.
Mm-hmm.
The leads are without talent at all. Despite being whitewashed, they're just bad at acting.
I don't like to pick on child actors, but
it's so bad.
The fact that the kid from Over the Top won a Razzie, he's like doing Shakespeare in the Park compared to these three child leads.
It's so bad. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I think you hit on something there, Blake. The lack of any sense of charm or charisma from the lead actors in this, and the chemistry is not there.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. And to the child actor point, I feel as though, M. Night Shyamalan went and watched The Phantom Menace and said, wait, hold my beer, I can do better than that.
So they found this kid who played Ong. I guess he was discovered at some Taekwondo competition because he's like a legit black belt. And he was in Cowboys versus Aliens.
He looks like he was discovered at like a So You Think You Can Act competition.
So this is
for
the
kids with autism. The meanest thing
I'm gonna say about this kid is that if he auditioned for Three Ninjas, he would have gotten turned down. That's how bad.
He's not a good enough actor to be in Three Ninjas. Dude, Tum Tum ain't got nothing on this kid.
Yeah. So what I read was basically he found out they were casting for this movie, and the kids at his dojo thought, "Hey, man, you look a lot like Aang. Like, you should try out." So he recorded a tape of himself doing his karate moves and sent it into to the producers, and they said, "Oh, well, this is our guy." That was it. If you're going to
spend $280 million to make and market a movie, you have to hold a large casting call for your lead role.
His physicality is fine. Like,
I don't think he's the worst part of the movie. I don't think he's the worst.
No, but the acting, right? Like, yeah, physically he's great.
Well, you could have gotten away with him being a bad actor if your other two lead characters had any talent at all, and they don't.
You can write around that. Jean-Claude Van Damme would not have a career if you couldn't write around that.
Don't you dare sully Jean-Claude.
Oh, God. Here we go. The JVCD apologist camp.
Now, we do know that Steven Seagal had a semi-successful early movie career, and they wrote around that motherfucker for all of those.
Well, you can only shit your pants so many times before it catches up with you.
This kid would have had a better performance if he shit his pants on camera. That would have been a better performance than what we got out of these three lead actors.
You know what? Like
it's a literal pants shitting.
Rathbone is really bad. He plays Soka. I think that's the character's name. He's unbelievably bad.
And another fun fact, I don't know enough about this franchise to comment on this intelligently, but apparently M. Night Shyamalan made a executive decision to pronounce the names in the movie different than the TV show because they thought they were more accurate. And everybody's like, what the fuck?
Why would you
change the names? Because they're made up names. They're not like historic names. They're not mythological names. They're just made up names. But he thought he was being more authentic.
The only thing this movie has going for it
to alienate the fan base again.
Exactly. The only thing this movie has going for it is the love of the fan base, right? Like apparently this is a great cartoon. I know it's on TV a lot. I have never watched it as we discussed, but like the only thing this thing has going for it is the original IP and the love for the original property. And then to spit in their face with this product, with this acting, it's just, again, to your point, Tito's, I don't want to sit here and talk bad about child actors. They're clearly doing their best here, but like, this is community theater level bad acting.
It's not good. So that's an excellent point, Dr. Blake, which leads me to my next somewhat lingering question. How did this movie coming after The Happening not kill M. Night Shyamalan's career? I'm sorry. This should have been it. This guy should have had to like go and direct TV movies and episodes of CW shows for the end of time after this, right? That should be his deserved fate.
I think the only thing going for him is that Fifth Element, or Fifth Element, The Sixth Sense. That's what I was trying to say. Was The Sixth Sense?
Both good movies.
Both good movies.
Yeah.
I think that The Sixth Sense was such a genre-defining, era-defining movie, perhaps. Like
lightning in a bottle, massive money, Oscar noms.
And he's just going to – he's been riding those coattails for a long time. And great, like, I like The Village, but it's not that good.
No,
like,
Split was good.
I like Split, but it's not that good.
Right, no, it's not that good. But his movies make money, though. His movies
now, guys, here's overall, what's going to blow your mind. Because as I told you earlier, Chumpzilla, like, it very nearly did kill his career, right? Very nearly.
Yeah.
And he basically had to get The Visit, which comes out in 2015, so 5 years after this, independently financed. And that movie's really good. But he followed up The Last Airbender with After Earth, which is arguably worse, but I don't think, I mean, it was bad. I watched it when I was getting tattooed recently, and
it's not worse than this.
I had never seen it, and it's very, very bad.
I've heard it's bad. Folks, that's the Will Smith movie with his son, James.
So he goes from Lady in the Water to The Happening to The Last Airbender to After Earth. It's a miracle he has a career. It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a string of bad, but I would take, and After Earth is not a good film, but I would watch that movie 10 times before I ever turn this on again.
Now, you know what After Earth and this specifically have in common is that they're two big for the way he makes movies. His movies are small, they're tense, they're taut, right? These two movies are huge, they're sprawling, they cost a ton of money.
He gets lost.
And it's just not what he does. And then you watch something like The Visit, which is like a found footage film, and it's great. And then he does Split. Again, very small. Mm-hmm. Great.
Is The Visit the one where the kids go with their grandparents?
They go to, and it's not their grandparents.
Yeah. That's actually a really good movie. Yeah, I like that movie a lot. It was weird.
He kind of got out ahead of his skis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
not everybody can make that jump, right? Like, Hollywood, the Russo brothers. Not everybody can go from Community to Avengers Endgame, right? That's a big leap.
Or Jim Cameron, right? Piranha 2 to Aliens.
I mean, Hollywood wants...
But...
Sure.
It's a shame because... As soon as a director or filmmaker becomes marketable for any reason whatsoever, Hollywood wants them to now be the next name attached to
$200 million.
It's not what they do, right? Like, to your point, this is not in his wheelhouse.
Well, look at Chloe Zhang. She's like, oh, I made this movie Nomadland, which is about traveling folk who
it's one of the most boring movies that I've ever seen, but it's not a small movie about people, though. Yes.
And then they're like, hey, want to make probably our most ambitious superhero movie full of superheroes nobody gives a shit about? Here's $250 million.
Yeah. Everybody's talents scale up, right? Sometimes they have to stay in their lane. Fair enough. So T-Dubs, I know you're chomping the bit for this one. You're primed for it. Is this the shit movie champion?
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you why. Because as much as I hate Rollerball, at least there's like, we know that there was trouble behind the scenes of Rollerball. So much so that our buddy McTiernan ends up going to jail for illegally wiretapping. Well, that's just
probably cocaine-induced paranoia. That's not necessarily the movie.
That movie was a mess behind the scenes. He had carte blanche here. Wrote, direct, produced. They trusted him implicitly, and he delivered one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You know what? I had more fun watching Rollerball. So, Bling Blake...
Yeah, Oleg took tar off, dude.
I'm not saying it's a good movie, but I had more fun watching it. Bling Blake, you're the tiebreaker here, brother. Well, Push the needle, man. Which is worse, Rollerball or The Last Airbender?
We have... gone around the last few weeks with the shit movie champ conversation.
Now let's remember here for a second. Rebecca Romijn, leather, scar, bad Russian accent.
Boobies.
Not hers, but boobies.
Not hers, but...
But boobies.
I have been...
Ice-T or Ice Cube, one of those guys. LL Cool J, that's him.
LL Cool J.
Yep. And the boing from the night vision scene.
Yeah.
Rollerball. Lots of fun.
That movie is so bad. And we have had a few contenders for S movie champ in the last few months. And I've vehemently said it's not worse than Rollerball. This movie is so much worse than Rollerball.
Oh, no.
Thank you. At least Rollerball has something to say.
There's something going on. This was just so... from the opening credits. Like
Bobbles, Blake, you're breaking my heart.
I know. But like Rollerball, like, I don't know. There was at least some level of charm with some of it. Like I said, this feels like Community theater levels of bad. Like I'm watching Cabaret at a fucking country club right now. Like it's so bad.
You know, I have no issues with poking fun at Chris Klein outside of the movie Just Friends, where he probably should have got a Best Supporting Actor.
He should have got an Oscar for that. It was so good.
And he
Dusty Dinkelman.
He's
walking between the raindrops.
He's doing work in Rollerball that far exceeds anything we see here.
Anything that anybody's doing in this. And again, like you know, I'm going to blank on the actors' names, but obviously you got Dev Patel, who is a talent. The
Best Picture winner.
Yeah, that Clive guy, the Kiwi that's also
Cliff,
that's yes, I love him, and he's really good and has an amazing presence. The other bad guy dude that he's in the internship
from the Daily Show.
Yeah, so there is talent on the film here, and honestly, I think those three were actually really trying hard. Despite the terrible source, this terrible script they were given, but like,
yeah,
our lead actors are so bad, it's just like, yeah, there's nothing here.
I think that's a good distinction to make. The lead actors are bad, but I don't think anyone else was phoning it in per se. Everyone was trying.
They were trying to bring it home
to whatever level their talent allowed them to try.
Listen, when Cliff Curtis has to deliver the line, and I'm paraphrasing because honestly, it's not like I watched this a lot of times and I remember exactly, but he's talking to his daughter and he's like, in 3 years, the lunar comet will launch. And in that case, your firebending abilities will not require fire to firebend anymore. You'll be the greatest firebender. It's like, stop saying firebender.
Please stop saying those words. You've got to stop saying it. Like, it was just so painful.
Lots of clunky dialogue.
I know I came in a little tardy this evening. Apologies, listener.
That's funny. I don't feel tardy.
This is six pain beers.
Oh yeah.
This is the worst movie we've ever watched on this podcast.
It's official now. That put a bow on it.
Good luck beating it.
Mm-hmm. Good luck beating it. Honestly, like, because I really didn't think that Rollerball was ever going to go down. I've been so adamant lately about like, no. Like, this movie's bad. Like Half Past Dead was bad. It's not nearly as bad as Rollerball, right? Like,
yeah,
we've had some bad movies. I mean, the whole goddamn show is bad movies. I know that. We've had some real stinkers lately. But I was like, no, none of them even come close to touching Rollerball levels of bad. This wins without even. It's not even a contest.
This is the only movie I've watched in recent memory where I felt like I needed to go sit on the pier like Jerry Seinfeld and think about my life choices.
I mean, you make me think that a lot after being on the show for, I've only been on here for like a year, right? Like, y'all been doing it for like 3-4 now. Ooh, this is rough.
I just got to say, I'm on a streak here. I've got this. Rollerball, Home Sweet Home Alone. I'm doing pretty good here, Tito.
So what you're saying is that you're the shit movie champ.
I'm bringing the heat. Yeah, I'm bringing the heat.
I will say this: Home Sweet Home Alone. That's like masterpiece theater compared to this.
Oh my god! Yeah, Hitchcockian compared to this.
To your point there, Blake. That movie had some semblance of charm. I almost cared about that little asshole kid.
Almost. I agree.
Almost. All right, listener. I think we need to crack another Tropic Force here ahead of the competitive portion of the pod, and we will see you on the flip side. Welcome back to Hops and Box Office Flops. It's finally time for the Turd Bender Trivia Challenge. Gentlemen, tonight we have the standard format, 5 questions, multiple choice, and tonight you'll be playing for a lifetime supply of, you guessed it, cabbages. Tonight's chime-ins are, again, I offer my condolences on your nephew burning to death in that terrible accident, and when I was born, I was not awake, or any of the pod standards. This movie is also devoid of any good one-liners and or quotes.
I don't even get the second one. I think I erased that from my memory.
Yeah, don't sweat it. I erased all of this from my memory with the moonshine and the Tropic Force Chaser. All right, question number one. The original creators of Avatar, The Last Airbender, met in college. What university did they attend? Was it A, USC, B, the Rhode Island School of Design, C, NYU, or D, UCLA?
Kung Fu.
That would be Bling Blake.
I'm going to go with NYU.
C, NYU. That is incorrect.
Balls.
Yep, sorry. Okay, T-Dubs, can you steal? You have when three I was, remaining answers.
When I was born, I wasn't awake. Who the hell would remember that? I'm going to go with the University of Spoiled Children, USC.
That is incorrect as well. They met at the Rhode Island School of Design.
Yeah, no, I just assumed that was I thought that was like a red herring because that was going to be a Family Guy. What's his name?
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane. No, these dorks went to the same school. Bunch of white dudes from the East Coast making a thing about Eastern.
Is that where MacFarlane went?
I think so.
So
RISD.
Somebody Google that. Is that a fact? I think it's a fact.
So let me get this straight. Not only is this movie obviously whitewashed with white actors playing Asian characters, but this is cultural appropriation. Like this was just like white dudes made anime.
I mean, I didn't want to be the one to say it, but yes.
I think so.
100%.
I always assumed this was like an actual Asian anime manga property. No, this is just white dudes making an Asian cartoon. Are you kidding me?
Did you call manga manja? Like you want to eat more? Like
I want to eat manja, like Italian, right?
Hold on. We need Captain Cash here to referee this. It is GIF. Thank you. And yeah, this is not based on any actual Eastern mythology. This is just these guys from
Rhode Island.
Yeah, it's made shit up. Yeah. So let's just move on. Let's not go down that path.
I'm sorry. I'm
for all of us.
I'm completely blown away right
manja
now.
Manja on that, Blake.
Manja.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we're still tied up at goose eggs heading into question number two. M. Night Shyamalan ghost wrote which one of these teen comedies? Was it A, She's All That, B, Not Another Teen Movie, C, Idle Hands, or D, Never Been Kissed?
I'm going to shoot.
Oh, that's Bling Blake.
I mean, it seems genre accurate, so I'm going to go with Idle Hands.
Oh, that would be incorrect.
Incorrect, yeah.
Balls, man.
T-Dubs, can you steal?
I don't even know what I would chime in with, but I'm fairly sure it's She's All That.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be gosh darned.
Isn't that weird? Strange. All right, that's 1 point for T-Dubs.
And question 1 point for Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Yes, it is. And question number three is M. Night Shyamalan is a season ticket holder of which NBA franchise? Oh, Captain Cash, good thing you're not on this pod because this is a sports ball question.
He doesn't even know what the NBA is.
Exactly. Is it A, the Celtics, B, the Clippers?
I believe that's pronounced the Celtics.
C, the 76ers, or D, the Warriors?
Fine. I'm a bender.
Oh yeah. That's UK slang for a homosexual man.
It's fine, whatever.
No, it's fine.
Let's go off the wall. It's got to be 76ers. Let's go Philly. Is he a Philly guy?
Yeah, he's a Philly guy. 100%. Yeah. He's Pennsylvania guy. Yeah, Philly guy. 6 years. Hey, that's 1 point for Blaine Blake. He didn't really want it, but he got it.
So I did not. I didn't want it at all. Like, yeah, I don't like the Sixers. I don't like the NBA. I don't like this movie.
We're tied up. That's 1-1. And it brings us to question number four. In 2019, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, that's probably racist, publicly disowned one of his films. I'm sorry, two of his films in 2019. One was this movie, and the other was which one of these films? Was it
not A, The Happening?
The Happening, B, Wide Awake, C, The Visit, or D, After Earth?
Parts and Tarts.
Well, that's, that was
first of all, I call bullshit. I think you're a nice guy. You seem nice. You cannot disown a movie you wrote, produced, and directed.
You can't. I'm sorry.
This is on you, homeboy.
He's tried to claim the studios wrecked it.
I'm sure he is trying to claim that. That's what I'm trying to claim if I made all of those dog shit films.
After Earth, for sure.
Yeah. Somebody else clearly shit my pants. It wasn't me.
These pants came with shit in them when I bought them.
Exactly.
My answer is After Earth.
After Earth.
That seems like the logical choice.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And that is 2 points for you, T-Dubs.
I'm actually surprised. I liked AE more than I liked The Happening. I liked The Happening a lot more than you guys.
But The
did,
Happening but... is much more in his wheelhouse. That's something
it,
like...
It is very much an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
He was a rogue agent when it came to After Earth. Like, hey, this can resurrect your career. It's a Will Smith movie. And then he's like, cool, I'll fucking stab Will Smith in the leg in the first 10 minutes. And we'll just depend on his son doing a terrible accent.
Yeah, Jaden's a lot of things, but good actor is not one of them.
Asshole. Delusional. Yes. A lot of things.
Affluenza.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so
I mean, maybe he's not an asshole, but he's definitely delusional.
He sure seems like one. Yeah, he's putting on, he wears a lot of asshole cologne. I can tell you that much.
He's got the resume. So that's
he might be a nice kid. I don't know.
That's 2 points though, T-Dubs, and also that brings us to question number five. Somehow this movie did not. I repeat, did not win the Razzie for the worst remake or ripoff in 2010. Which movie beat it out? Was it A, Clash of the Titans, B, Sex and the City 2, C, the Twilight Saga Eclipse, or D, Vampires Suck?
Parts and Tarts. It has to be Sex and the City 2.
Really?
And it was.
Really?
Congrats, T-Dubs. You are the winner. You have a lifetime supply of my cabbages.
The Razzies always go for the big fish, Bling.
Yeah, you're right. And that was not the worst movie of 2010 or remake or whatever. It's not good. No, but it's exactly what it was supposed to be. It's what every Sex and the City fan,
horny
I think,
old
expected
babes
it to be.
Go to the Middle East, Sex and the City 2.
They could solve this whole Gaza-Israel conflict, I think.
Really?
You send Kim Cattrall anywhere? Peaceful.
Kim Cattrall, peaceful. SJP in a tutu. Let's go. Come on. We can pick this shit out.
Forget SJP. Does Kim Cattrall get her tits out in this?
Does Kim Cattrall,
she's naked in virtually every Sex and the City episode almost, and certainly naked.
That's why I'm asking, because
I've never seen the sequel.
Did she get, was she in it?
The first movie was bad enough. She's in the sequel.
I thought she said that one. Oh, she
said
that
reboot. Was the end. She's not in the new reboot series. The feud began anew after the sequel, but she's in the sequel.
She is okay.
Thanks to Sex and the City, I've seen subpar Raiden's penis, so thanks a lot. Thanks, James Remar, who goes full frontal in Sex and the City.
Give us that Remar dong.
What's wrong with the dong?
I'm sure it's a very nice penis.
I mean, there's nothing right. It's a great penis, but
did he have a stunt penis or was it Remar's?
It's all Remar, dude.
Yeah. No CGI.
Remar requires no stunts.
I didn't see that one. Is he gifted?
You know it. Dude, he's in the Warriors. All right, can we stop talking about James Ringhart's penis and
move him to Cattrall? I'm not sure we come can. Out and play.
That would be Sully's penis.
Come on. It's my week arm. So, recommendations. I'm selfish. I'm going to allow the group to regroup here, and I'll start. My recommendation this week is to watch the Roadhouse remake on Amazon Prime right now. I know that's come up previously, but no, seriously, watch that movie. It's not good. And that's why I'm recommending it, not because it's good, because it's a mess of a movie. And I want everyone to suffer like I did. Conor McGregor is a cartoon character. Jake Gyllenhaal seems stoned for most of the movie. And the CGI fight scenes are terrible. They are so weird. It's like an uncanny valley kind of thing. It's CGI and too slick. And I can't explain it. The only thing that could have saved this movie, in my opinion, was a CGI Terry Funk showing up and kicking everyone's ass and then enjoying a high life. That would have been perfect.
I mean, that saves every movie, though, doesn't it?
I mean, if every movie ended with Terry Funk having a high life, they'd all be perfect movies. But it's worth checking out. It is a fucking weird-ass movie, though. Gotta say. Pretty bizarre. But gentlemen, T-Dubs, Bling Blake, recommendations.
Okay, so I took the fam to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I don't think it's a movie devoid of issues, but God damn it, I loved it. It nice. Brought me close to tears. I thought it channeled the real Ghostbusters cartoon very well. I loved the sort of small appearances by Patton Oswalt and a little bit larger appearance from Kumail Nanjiani. I love Ghostbusters. It's always great to see the original core of Ghostbusters. I'm a little confused about why the reviews are so overtly negative about legacy sequels. I guess that's where we're at now. I mean, everybody loved The Force Awakens. And that was literally the same movie as episode 4.
I mean, we got the Top Gun sequel, which is...
Yeah, and everybody loved that.
I mean, it's basically a remake of the first movie, and now, it's so good.
I'd be lying if I didn't say that was a far better movie than this. But I love Ghostbusters. If you've been following our socials, obviously you know I'm currently having it like tattooed on my body. So obviously I'm in the ideal viewing audience for this film. But if you have kids, they'll love it. It was a lot of fun. Dan Aykroyd's having the time of his life. Bill Murray shows up and throws some real great Bill Murray fastballs. And it channels the cartoon, which the movies generally haven't done, right? So
to be fair, those were two very separate entities.
Definitely, they definitely were. But it embraces that sort of, hey,
the real Ghostbusters.
Let's just go for it. And I loved it. And Paul Rudd was great. I forgive him for being a Chiefs fan. It's unfortunate, but
it is. I know. Hey, man, you can't help where you're from. You have chosen your fandoms like a giant weirdo. Like the rest of us, really, like we've had our fandoms thrust upon us. You have chosen misery. Listen, that's your fault.
Yeah, but at least I have my like movie fandoms pretty strong. Pretty strong.
At
doing
least
well.
Josh Allen wasn't the villain in the Roadhouse movie.
Do you think?
No, but Sidney Crosby could have been.
Dude, Sidney Crosby would have fucked up Jake Gyllenhaal. Give me a break.
Get out.
Josh Allen.
That guy has glass hands.
Josh Allen would have destroyed Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh my God. You're Josh Allen.
Would have stepped on him like Jax from Mortal Kombat 3. He's crushed him.
You have like on a giant granite gay pedestal. And that's fine that you have homoerotic fantasies about Josh Allen. Like, I'm not here to
Listen,
to yuck
judge.
Your yum or yeah, I'm not judging, but like, Well, take it easy, man.
To be fair, Blaine Blake, he has top tier quarterback face. I get it.
You don't hear me talk about how Pamela Anderson should be the helming some NFL team.
Well,
and I think she's amazing, and I'd like
you
to
only
have,
say this now because your quarterback has been cavorting with Donald Trump at shitty UFC cards.
Hey, just because quarterback is disenfranchising his wide receivers with the political leanings isn't a reason for you to judge us, T-Dubs. Let's not. Come on now.
I mean, he was close to Trump, the orange glow was on his face.
I think he heard his rep.
We had a kind of a short week here, listener, so I have not had a lot of time to consume new material, but I like Cliff Curtis a lot. I think he's one of those underrated actors that we don't get to see enough of. And a movie that I think did really well, he's in it, and kind of could have been M. Night Shyamalan esque or would have been a good project for him, is the Shining sequel, Dr. Sleep. It features Cliff Curtis. It obviously stars Ewan McGregor. It's Stephen King. It is currently streaming somewhere, I think.
Captain Cash loves it.
It's a really, really good movie. I think you can watch it right now. I think maybe you have to rent it on Apple TV or Amazon Prime. But I really liked that movie. It gives us good Shining service. It expands on the whole mythos and story behind the telekinetic powers, you know, the ESP, the shine that we get. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it, man. I mean, you know, Ewan McGregor can pretty much do anything and I'll enjoy it. But
okay, Blaine, you can just admit to all of us that you've got a thing for Rose the Hat. It's okay.
I like Rose the Hat. I do. Yeah, definitely would have gotten lured into one of her traps, no doubt.
As a child, you're like, where were those kidnappers? My kidnappers were not fun or sexy. This kidnapper was fun and sexy. Wow.
They were related to me. Dr. Sleep, Cliff Curtis, Ewan McGregor, Stephen King. Should have been a Shyamalan movie. It's not.
It's a good flick.
So, I'm going to go on from here.
Well, thank you, Dr. Blake. We appreciate the recommendation. And that leads us to our next episode in our live action flop series. Next week, we'll be talking about kicking some Cobra butt with 2009's G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. And let me tell you, T-Dubs, I was once a man.
Once a man.
It's far worse than the G.I. Joe cartoon movie. But I still like it.
Cobra la la. Cobra la 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 la. It's okay because, folks, Captain Cash is in a coma.
Is he going to cosplay as like Cobra Commander for the next show?
No, he's not that cool.
Yeah, don't.
Maybe
don't.
He'll cosplay as like one of the sexy Cobra ladies.
If anything, like he's the
Cobra ladies. Yeah,
he's the Baroness.
Not her. I want like the nameless blonde haired Cobra ladies.
Baroness, but don't ruin this point.
Yeah.
Anyway, as always, you can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Step on me, Cobra mommy.
Oh, daddy. At Hops and BO Flops. And you can find me on Twitter at Chumzilla8. Captain Cash, when he's not dressing up as the Baroness, can be found at CAPTCASH on most of your social medias. And the Thunder Swizzard can be found at writer TLK on the Twitterverse. Blaine Blake, he does the Twitters occasionally, from at Blaine Blake. Somewhere out in the ether, Mayor McCheese is fire bending or water bending or whatever. He's some sort of bending with his flying buffalo companion. We love you. It's okay. Mayor, we love you. Take care.
Master the bending.
Yep. Just do what you gotta do, buddy. If you enjoy the pod, don't forget to leave us a review or drop us a line on the socials as listed. Gentlemen, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I should have never recommended this movie.
Hey, ding dong, the rollerball witch is dead. Long live the new king.
Long live the king.